I did hear of a little girl called Grace, actually, who was drawing a picture. And Mummy leaned over and looked at the picture and said, oh, what's that a picture of? And she said, oh, it's a picture of God. And Mummy said, I think she'd been reading chapter 4, verse 12 here on the right-hand side. She'd said, oh, nobody knows what God looks like. Or indeed down the bottom there, actually, verse 20. Nobody's ever seen God. Nobody knows what God looks like. Oh, they will when I've finished, said Grace. Yeah, just going to show them. It's wonderful, isn't it? A little bit of confidence in our faith. If somebody asked you, are you a Christian? How would you answer? Would you be confident in us answering? I've heard people say, I'm not sure exactly when I became a Christian. Couldn't put my finger on it. And some people get very worried about that, that they can't pin down the date or the time. Other people are not worried enough about that question. But I think that the important thing is to know where you stand with Christ. Many people today are unsure. So what I want to talk about today is, how do you become a Christian? What is the true faith? What are the essential marks, if you like, of being a Christian? And I think this letter, the letter of John here, offers us three essentials. They are, you can see them actually on the bottom of the left-hand column there, chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. This is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us, and we know it by the Spirit he gave us. So those are the three, I think, marks of authentic Christianity. The first is to believe in Jesus Christ. Verse 23, this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. You can see it also across the page on the right there, chapter 4, verse 15. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, then God lives in him and he in God. That's the foundation of authentic Christian faith. And that's how you become a Christian, to believe in Christ. It's what the word Christian actually means. It means a Christ person. Somebody said to me once, if you take Christ out of Christian, all you're left with is Ian, and he can't help you much. I thought, yes, that's pretty true, actually. Yeah. A Christian is a Christ in man, a Christ in person. Somebody who has Christ in them, and somebody who is themselves in Christ. In other words, whatever happened to Jesus on the cross and the resurrection has happened to us as well. We follow Christ. That's our faith. And the way that you become a Christian is by acknowledging Christ as the Son of God and as your Saviour and Lord. How do you actually follow that through in your daily life? Well, having acknowledged him as Saviour and Lord, in, for instance, verse 15 on the right there, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he lives in God. Then what we do is we obey his commands. That's what following him means, really. So all through this passage, he talks about obeying his commands. Verse 22 on the left, we obey his commands and do what pleases him. Verse 23, this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son and to love one another as he commanded us. Verse 24, those who obey his commands live in him. All the way through, obedience to his commands is the way that we follow him. Living our lives as Jesus lived his and as he commanded his disciples. And once you've decided that, to take those steps of faith, Romans 8, Paul tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. We're secure in Christ. Sometimes people worry about their faith. Oh, I hope I'm a Christian. I do my best and all that sort of thing. But in fact, in the Bible, we're told that this is a decision that we make, a choice that we make. In the baptism a moment ago, we heard the parents and godparents making that decision. First of all, three things they repented and resisted and renounced: sin and evil and the devil. And then in the ancient church, in the early centuries, the baptism family would actually turn round and they would turn the other way, as if they were sort of changing their life around. And they would say the positive side: I turn to Christ, I submit to Christ, I believe in Christ, I trust in him, I follow him as my Saviour and my Lord. It is literally a change of life, turning away from the world and turning to Christ. So that's the first mark of authentic Christian faith. The second one is to receive the Holy Spirit. And we can see that, for example, at the bottom left there in verse 24. This is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. And also, if you look on the right, halfway down, verse 13. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit? Why is it important to receive the Holy Spirit? There's been a bit of controversy in the church about the Holy Spirit. Some people are very wary of him. Some people want to limit his work and, if you like, keep him on a short leash, perhaps as a reaction to extremism or whatever. But the New Testament is very clear that the Holy Spirit is not a sort of luxury optional extra for the elite or for those who like that sort of thing. The Holy Spirit is here and available for all of Jesus' followers. That's what the stories in Acts are all about. Following the coming of the Holy Spirit, you find ordinary, humble people, Galilean fishermen and peasants and so on, given power to proclaim the gospel. The Holy Spirit enabled them to live like Jesus. So we all need to be open and willing to receive God's Holy Spirit, because he's the one who makes a difference in our lives. He's the one who transforms our lives from the inside out. So, believe in Jesus as the Son of God, receive the Holy Spirit, and then the third mark of authentic Christian faith is to love others. I'm sure you heard that message all the way through our readings. In verse 11, the very first verse, top left there, we should love one another. This is the message you heard from the beginning. And then verse 14, for example, we know that we passed from death to life because we love our brothers. And then again in verse 23 there, this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son and to love one another as he commanded us. And on the right-hand side, there's too many for me to quote. Verse 7, and pretty well every verse all the way through there. To love others. John is very blunt on this point. He says, for example, whoever does not love does not know God. You can't really be a Christian and not love others. John says, look, if you claim to love God who you can't see, but you don't love your brother who you can see, you're telling fibs. It can't be true. In other words, this is a true mark of authentic Christian faith. How do we do that? What is love? How do we know how to behave and how to act? Well, John tells us that the true mark of authentic love is Jesus himself. This is how we know what love is. Verse 10 on the right-hand side. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And also further down, verse 19. We love because he first loved us. So in other words, think about what Jesus did for us. Think about his self-giving on the cross in particular. That's the highest standard of love, isn't it? Jesus himself said it, to lay down your life for others. Now, we may not be called to be martyrs for our faith. Only a few have to do that. But John is saying that Christian love is still like that. It involves self-giving, self-sacrifice, putting others before yourself. And John knew what that was like because he'd been with Jesus. He says in the Gospel and in the letters, he says that he was a witness, an eyewitness of all that Jesus did. And he gave us this eyewitness report so that we can have the authentic joy of knowing Christ too. Just to finish, think for a moment. Have you ever received love like that? Sacrificial, self-giving love. Or another question, have you ever given love in that way? Have you ever had to put yourself out, give yourself for another? We've all heard stories, I'm sure, haven't we, of people who've sacrificed their lives, maybe literally, or maybe given themselves in very powerful ways for others. Is there evidence of authentic Christian faith in your life today? Because we need to live distinctively in this world. Perhaps you say, well, actually, I need to make a commitment here. I need to take a step of faith. And if you do, I'm going to pray a little very simple prayer in a moment. And you might like to pray that prayer quietly after me. Let's just bow our heads for a moment and pray. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the living Son of God. Fill me with your Spirit and inspire me to follow you with my whole heart and to love others as you did. In Jesus' name, amen.